There's a shaila about crying on Rosh Hashanah and about asking for personal things, especially when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. I used to think that especially on Shabbos, a person at best can ask for things, personal things or whatever, mentally, not verbally. Somebody showed me recently that Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach said beferish that you're allowed to ask even on Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur were made for bakoshos, and even though the Shemoneh Esrei we say is not a regular Shemoneh Esrei, but that's not because you're not allowed to say bakoshos. That's because the Rabbanan didn't want to be matriachos to say a long Shemoneh Esrei on Yontif. That's the reason why on Shabbos we don't say a long Shemoneh Esrei. So, therefore, at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you'd be allowed on Rosh Hashanah to ask for personal things, even gashmiyistic things. There's also a shayla about crying on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There are basically four shittas, so whatever you do, you yotzei one of them. One opinion is that you should bedafka cry Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and somebody who doesn't cry is what's it called, has to check and see if his neshama is still working. Mayor, forget about that for you. That's not for you. Second opinion is that the other extreme, a person should not cry in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a day to be happy. When you coronate the king, you're happy about it. And when you blow shofar, you should be happy when you blow shofar. That's a Vilna Gaon's opinion. You shouldn't cry in Rosh Hashanah, you should be happy. Then there are two medium shitas that are really contradictory to each other. One is that if you feel like crying, then you should cry. But you shouldn't force yourself to cry. And the last opinion is just the opposite. If you feel like crying, you should hold yourself back and not cry. And if you don't feel like crying, you should force yourself to cry. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about, going against your nature. So whatever you do, you're yotzei somebody's opinion. Okay. And Rosh Hashanah will speak in the drasha about the seeming contradiction between the fact that on Rosh Hashanah there's an idea of being happy and eating and drinking, and at the same time, Emas Hadin, of being a tremendous trepidation because of the fact that we're in the midst of a tremendous judgment. I have a new idea for this year, which Mirtz Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, hopefully it'll be ready. Okay. Okay, the davening itself, we add into davening certain additions, Zachreinu L'chaim, Mikamocha, Uksov L'chaim Tovim, and the Sefer Chaim. If you forget to say them, you haven't yet said the Shem Hashem of the Bracha after them, then you go back and say them. And if you have said the Shem Hashem, you don't go back. You're not allowed to go back and say them. However, we also say HaMelech HaKadosh instead of HaKel HaKadosh. And there, if you said HaKel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, if you remember immediately, within Toch Kedei Dibur, the time it says to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and you haven't yet started the next Bracha, you've stopped, haven't stopped long enough to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, then if you said HaKel HaKadosh, you say immediately HaMelech HaKadosh and you Yotze. If you waited that long or you started the next Bracha, then you have to go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Wherever you remember that you said HaKel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, you immediately go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Don't complete what you're doing. Don't say another word. Go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. If you don't have doubts, if you're not sure whether you said it or not, we assume you didn't. You said the wrong thing, because that's what you usually say, and you have to go back and say Shemoneh Esrei. If you basically finish Shemoneh Esrei and only a time after you began to have doubts, it's probably because you're insecure and not because you really have doubts. Otherwise, you would have had the doubts right away, and you don't go back and say Shemoneh Esrei. Okay. What else? The Simonim. And Leil, Rosh Hashanah. The main thing is to see them, to have them on the table and see them. Our minig is also to eat them and to say Yehi Ratzon. So we have all different things that we have. First of all, the first day, you don't need a Shechianu on the table, only the second day. First day, don't use up your Shechiyonu the first day, then you won't have anything left for Shechiyonu for the second day, and that's when you really need it. I'm not going to go into now why you need a Shechiyonu on the table, but if you don't have one, you still say Shechiyonu in Kiddush. The Shechiyonu is mainly for the person making Kiddush. Because the question whether you say Shechiyonu the second night of Rosh Hashanah or not, in order to avoid any problem, you have something that you say Shechiyonu on. Women who light candles should also have a Shechiyonu in front of them when they make Shechiyonu on the candles, or they shouldn't say Shechiyonu on the candles and should wait till Kiddush to be Yotze the Shechiyonu from the person who's making Kiddush. The minig is to dip the challah into honey, and the minig is not only to do it on Rosh Hashanah, but throughout Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and some people do it throughout Sukkot too. And proper not only to dip it in honey, but dip it in salt also. Dip one part in salt and one part in honey, and that's more proper. If you have a minig differently, only using honey, that's also acceptable, but if you don't have a specific minig, it's better to use both.
By honey, does the rub mean dipping dafka or have it with honey?
With honey, you don't have to dip it. In the salt, you should dip it. But in the honey, you can put the honey on top of it too. Okay, we have a minig to eat here in Eretz Yisrael, many minim, based on a Gemara in Horios. We eat rubya, which is black-eyed peas, karsi, which is leeks, silka, which is beets, kara is some kind of gourd, pumpkin, tamarim are dates, rimonim is pomegranates, and apple dipped in honey, an apple together with honey. And each one has a yiratzon that you say. Some of them you have to make a bracha on. If you're not going to eat them in the meal, then you should make a bracha, a bori pri ha'adama on the adama, and an eitz on the eitz. And first you should eat the tamarim. Yeah, which one comes first? Tamarim. And make an eitz on it. And then after you eat a little bit, say the hiratzon, or say the hiratzon, then make the bracha, and then eat. Don't say the yiratzon between the bracha and eating. And then take one of the ones that you're not going to eat during the meal, either the beets or the black-eyed peas or whatever, and make a bracha on that. If you want to be extra machmer, because there's a question whether you make a bracha on it or not, you should eat it together with a piece of bread. Then you surely don't make a bracha. But if you make a bracha, it's also okay. And have kavana to be motzi all of the adamas, and when you made the eights, all of the eights, and the other ones, you just say the ratzon, and then eat it. Okay, the shechiyanu, only the person who made kiddush the second night has to eat from the shechiyanu, not everybody else, because he made the shechiyanu, had kavana for the day and for the fruit, and not everybody else has to eat from that shechiyanu thing. If you want to be Yotze, and you were Yotze with the Shechiyonu, if you do eat from it, you don't make another Shechiyonu. You were Yotze with his Shechiyonu. Okay, there's no order with these. We also eat a head of a fish, or if you have the head of a ram, is even better. You should just be aware that fish have problems with worms. There's no minig to eat the head of a worm on Rosh Hashanah. And you should only buy fish that has a good hechsher, that, you know, that doesn't have worms in its brains, and that you can eat the flesh without a problem. Some people have the minig not to eat pungent, acidic things, things made with vinegar on Rosh Hashanah. It's not a halacha, it's a minig. If you really enjoy eating chrein or pickles or whatever, and you'd really feel that miserable if you didn't have those things, then it's better to feel good and eat those things than to feel miserable and have a bad simen of not eating what you enjoy for a Shabbos and Yom Tov. Person should try to learn some Torah during the meals on Rosh Hashanah. Some people have the minig to learn the perek each meal of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Mishnayos, but whatever Torah you learn during the meal is fine. Okay, the laws of shofar, even though women are not required to hear shofar, the minig is that women have been makabel on themselves by minig to hear shofar, and therefore a woman should make it a business to either be in shul to hear shofar, or to hear shofar blown at some time that it's blown after shul. The minimum to be yotze is 30 kolos, which is tkiya shvarim trua tkiya three times, tkiya shvarim tkiya three times, and tkiya trua tkiya three times. And the laws of the tkiya is mostly for the person who blows the shofar, and we explain them in shul, so we're not going to go through them now. The first day, since it's Shabbos, we don't say tashlich, say tashlich the second day. What else? Oh, taka. Because the first day is Shabbos, so you have to eat shalashuddas. And it's like any other yontif, except this one is almost impossible to do what some people usually do on a Shabbos that falls before a yontif. How to eat shalashuddas. The problem is, you have to eat shalashuddas, but you don't want to eat in such a way that you're going to ruin your appetite for the nighttime meal. Because normally on an Erev Yontif, right, you don't eat after the 10th hour. So some people, what they do is in the morning, before the 10th hour, they eat another meal. They break their meal in two. Here, Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to get home in time to do that. So what you should do is, save a little bit of dessert for a second meal, stop the meal, bench, wait a little while, and then wash again, lecha mishnah, and eat whatever you wanted to eat for dessert together with that, and make two meals out of your main meal. There's no real time to make it much later than that, and you're not allowed to make a whole meal later than that. So it's better to have that second meal finished, or at least started, by the 10th hour of the day. You know what time that is? No, I didn't put it on the thing. Okay. Whatever it is. Okay. If you can't do that, and you're too full, you can be yotzei shalash shuddos with cake. That's next in line. Or even with what's it called, fruit or fish or meat or whatever, without washing and without eating cake, but that's not ideal. Okay. Okay, what else? Okay, that's more or less. Any questions on the halachas of Yontif or Rosh Hashanah, whatever, yeah?
Yeah, as far as eating, there's some other minhag not to have raisins.
Not to have raisins? Yes, not to have raisins. There's a minig not to have grapes. Grapes is anovim. It has a hint to the Yetzer Hara, to the Satan. Grapes could have been the Eitz Hadas, which was the chait that Adam did on that first Rosh Hashanah. So there are a lot of reasons why not to eat grapes. But it says it's only dark grapes, not white grapes. So if you don't eat grapes, you can eat white raisins or white grapes. The minig is not to eat dark raisins or dark grapes.
My question was, if somebody never had that minhag, is it still eating not to, if it doesn't want to?
It's dependent on minig, it's not a halacha. If you enjoy eating grapes or whatever, or raisins, or you had raisins in the challah, some people make a raisin challah, right? And you have that minig, yeah, so it's only a minig, it's not a halacha. Yeah. Yeah.
Since Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos,
are you allowed to sleep? The minig is not to sleep the first day of Rosh Hashanah. It's not, however, if a person has a headache, or they know that if they don't sleep, they won't be able to daven mincha properly. Or if they stay up, they'll do worse things, and if they're sleeping, better should be asleep. If none of those things apply, then it's an inyan not to sleep the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Even if it's Shabbos. Okay. Yeah, now we're talking about in the daytime, not at night. Night you can sleep.
Yeah. You spoke about the percussion on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. On a
regular Shabbos, are we allowed to make prosciutto?
No. Regular Shabbos, or a regular Yontif, you can't make regular bakashos of things that are physical things that bother you, trouble you, if you don't have them. Meaning, you need parnasa or any other thing like that that you're missing, and you ask for, and it brings up in your mind something that bothers you, troubles you, pains you.
What about something that's more like on the spot? Like your kids are fighting, you don't have to shut up, but then my kids stop fighting. Something like that. Things that come up as the day goes on.
God help me. It's those kind of things.
Well, one second.
Now, Loch, is it that... I don't know if those things are things that bother you more not to ask if your kids are fighting. I'm not 100% sure. Mesnama, those things are okay. It's things that are kavua things, like parnosa, like whatever, refua, right? You can't say a regular mishaberach without Shabbos imilizo. But these kind of little things that are not such a big tzar, it's not something that you're pained about and you're really upset about or whatever. It's just, you know, God help me. Mustama, that you're allowed to say on Shabbos.
I thought Srochim for that, before Shabbos, you're allowed to ask for.
Srochim for Shabbos? What do you mean Srochim for Shabbos?
Something that you need, Bobi Yom, you are allowed to ask for.
What do you mean Bobi Yom? They're going to get an answer on that day?
Yeah.
I don't know. That, this would be an example, but I don't know if such a thing is. It doesn't work like that. It's not... Tzorchei Shabbos, you daven for Tzorchei Shabbos, and the person needs parnasa that day too, he needs it the next day also. I don't know, this kind of thing, Mislam, is okay. You're allowed to ask for spiritual things too, not physical things that really bother you. But these kind of small things, Mislam, is okay.
What about davening for someone to have children?
For someone to have children, that's not on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's an example of something that brings a person pain or whatever, and shouldn't daven for it on Shabbos Yom Tov. But on Rosh Hashanah you can. Rosh Hashanah, even on Shabbos, you can.
Can you be mistaken in the words of the tefillah though, between the two companies?
Yeah, mentally you can think of these things.
Even if it's something that brings you tzar?
It brings you a lot of tzar. No, you shouldn't make yourself be mistaken on Shabbos. If it doesn't bring you a lot of tzar, then you can think about it, mechaven it mentally. Even don't say it about. Okay. What was the question?
Yes, on the second night.
Yeah.
You make huge when you say Shef and Yonah, and you have in mind the fruit.
Right.
When do we eat that fruit?
You eat the fruit after Motzi, not between Motzi and Kiddush. You make a Motzi, and then you eat the fruit. You don't have to eat the fruit, but the person who made Kiddush has to eat a piece of the fruit. What?
After Motzi.
After Motzi.
What? Now, when you make the second meal, so for Shabbos, so you could be like not as good in mind that you take there. Yeah, only because it's Rosh Hashanah also.
Any Shabbos, if you really can't wash, just can't eat another meal, you can be able to sit with Kate.